Okay. Let us begin. We're up to Mishnah. Who remembers?
One second. I let me just get my Kirkiavos.
Yeah, you have that. Anyone? You can type in the chat.
We're up to test Zion.
Test Zion. Good. Parak Daled Mishnah Test Zion. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zahir b'Talmud Shigas Talmud Ola Zadon. You have to be careful in your study of Torah, for a careless misinterpretation of it is considered as a willful sin. So what does that mean? So, Mashal, if you can't hear me, so let me know. My internet's unstable, which is just a reflection of my neshama. Let's give a mashal. Let's say there's anyone planning. Oh, Tzvi's going to be a doctor. So let's say Tzvi wants to be a doctor. And Meretz Hashem should be a very good doctor, B'zrat Hashem. And let's say he decides, like, one time, one chapter of his textbook that he has to learn about the heart. He's planning on being a gastro doctor, and he knows that he has a set in mind. And then what does he do? He just like skims the chapters about the heart, and then eventually he becomes a doctor, and he never really learned anything about the heart. And then he starts practicing things, and then someone comes with a heart condition, but all he knows is about the gastro system. And Svi starts prescribing all these things without paying any attention to anything, the effects it might have on the heart and the guy's heart, because he really doesn't know anything. He knows the basics, but not more than that. And then all of a sudden, let's not use Svi anymore. And let's not use Svi at all. I was talking about a different Svi. Svi Mawa. Svi Mawa. So Dr. Svi Mawa. That's where you're not done. Dr. Svi Mawa, Dr. Mawa. So all of a sudden he has a patient who comes to him and he prescribes a medication for his gastro, totally overlooking the effects it might have on the heart, and it causes him to have a heart attack and he dies. And what's going to happen? He gets sued, and he's obviously going to lose because it's eventually found out that he doesn't know anything about the heart in the court case. So he's, he's charged with murder. And that's what this Mishnah is saying here. Be careful with what you learn. Because if you're going to be careless about it, so then it's going to be like you're doing a willful sin. So even though he became a doctor, but since he wasn't careful with his learning about the heart, so then it's like he's willfully killing this guy. You know, obviously that's not his intention, but that's the muscle. The nimshal is obviously if we're not careful with our learning, so then if we don't know anything, we just skip over parts of the Shulchan Aruch. Or skip over this halacha and that halacha, so then it's like we're doing it. If we mamish don't know, we've never heard about certain halachas, which there are a lot of halachas that we haven't heard of. So that's one thing. But if we have an opportunity to be learning, and then it's just like I'm spacing out in that shiur about Hilchos Shabbos, and then I go and I do something about using a sponge or something like that on Shabbos because I wasn't paying attention to the shiur that talked about tzchita, about squeezing out a sponge if it's not a Shabbos sponge, a regular sponge. So then it's like I'm willfully doing that. So if you're going to learn, do it right. Whether it's your Torah, whether it's your medical stuff, what are you learning in Rutgers? Food science, I don't know. Business, economics. So do it right, whatever it is. And that's why a Rav needs to do Shimush before he becomes like a Rav. Let's say a Rav wants to paskin shilas like shchita, like what we had. You guys remember the shchita in the yeshiva? That archaic building that's like crumbling away because no one goes there anymore. It's a haunted house now. It turned into the local haunted house, charging admission to raise funds for next year's Shana Bet programming. And, where's your face? Tzvi, where's your face? I need to see faces. Even if you don't listen, just like, let me see your faces. This is just like sad. My camera isn't working. There we go. Thank you, Noah. Let's just post a background or something. Sweet. So a Rav, before he can pass Shilas on like an animal which was shechted, so he has to do something called Shimush. He has to do an apprenticeship with a Rav who knows these things, and then the Rav teaches him how to inspect the knife, how to check the lungs, how to check everything else. If he's just going to learn the book, that's not going to be good enough. He has to do hands-on, and the same with the doctor. Yes, he has classroom time for the first few years of medical school, and then he has residency, where he's learning to become a doctor, and hopefully he doesn't have to do such a bad job on his patients. So that's pshat. So if you're going to do something, make sure you learn it right, you do it well, whatever it is, whether obviously this mission is talking about Torah and halacha, but even whatever careers you're going to study, don't just say, it's not important. But it is very important. Don't just skim over, because then it's like you're willfully, doing something, which in a lot of cases will be willfully doing something wrong. Mishnah Yud Zayin, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosh Ketarim Heim. There are three crowns: Keter Torah, the crown of Torah; the Keter of Kuna, this one's for you, Natan, of being a Kohen; and a Keser Malchus, and the crown of kingship; but Keser Shem Tov Olel Gabem. And the crown of having a good name goes on top of those three. So the question is, why does the Mishnah say there are three crowns? And then it lists how many crowns are in the Mishnah? Four. Very good, Noah. So the first three are pretty obvious. The fourth is not so obvious. They're really separate categories, of course. He says, Rav Avadim Bartanur says, the first three are mandated by the Torah. That we have to be mechabed these people. We have to be mechabed the Torah. We have to be mechabed the Kohen. Right? V'kidashta, we have to let Natan go first. We have to give him the best piece. We have to serve him first at the meal on Shabbos. Who's familiar with this halacha other than Natan? All right, Natan, are you familiar with this? Yeah, all right, good. Anyone else familiar with this halacha? That's a mitzvah to be mechabed the kohen, that he goes first, he gets the best piece. Bye-bye, Mordechai. Whatever it is, so we have to give preference to the Kohen because of his yichus, because of that chain of tradition that he's part of being a Kohen. If he's not a Kohen, so he can still get the VIP treatment. So all these things are mandated by the Torah that we have to be mechabe these people. But so shkoyach, Natan can be a real jerk. He can be really mean, he could be a bully, but we still have to do that and be nice to him and treat him with the best. But someone who has a good name, so he's not getting anything because his father had a good name, that's there, or this is the train of from this first great-great-great-grandfather, they all have good names, so automatically he gets a good name. If a person wants to get a good name, so he has to work for it. He has to have good deeds, he has to be a nice person, he has to be sweet, he has to be caring. So a person working for all those things and working hard, he achieves a good name. So because he had that toil and hard work to get a good name, so that's why that is above the other three. Because the other three just fall into the person's lap. The other three fall into the person's lap. He becomes a king. He becomes a kohen, or for mechabe the Torah. So that's why the person who has a good name is greater than all of them. As the Big Day Meshi writes, that the first three are gifts. And earning a good name for yourself takes, like what I just said, is hard work. And I encourage all of us to have good names about ourselves. Welcome back, Mordechai. Okay, Mishnah Yudalid. Rabbi Nohorai Oimer. Hebe golem makom Torah. V'al tomar shi tavo achrecha. You should exile yourself to the place of Torah. Do not assume that it's going to come after you. The Torah shechavercha yikamuha biyadecha, because your friend is the one who's going to cause it to be mekayim, to stick with you, to remain with you. Without v'el binatzcha al tishayin, and don't rely on your own understanding. The pasuk says in Mishnah. So Rabbi Norai, hold on. So you have to be gola to makom Torah. You have to exile yourself to makom Torah. So what does that mean? That if a person really, this is the idea of, I think one of the ideas of Shana Aleph is why can't we have Shana Aleph? Why don't we open up Leva Torah in Teaneck next year? not just because yeshiva is not opening next year. No, I'm joking. Not just because of Corona, but because you have to exile yourself away to a place of Torah. I mean, you have to remove yourself from your surroundings and go to that place. Imagine. Do you think your growth would be the same if you were living at home and going to yeshiva and commuting? No, because you have way more distractions at home. There's that, your own bed, you're comfortable. You have, you don't have any roommates that chase you out of the room in the morning. You have lots of distractions. You have all these things. There are plenty of distractions in yeshiva also, but not as much at home. So go to a place of Torah, and there you can be totally immersed, ideally, in the Torah. And as Rabbi Bartender says, you have to go there because the Altamar Shitavo Chrecha. Don't say that the Torah is going to come after you. You have to chase after the Torah. Yes, coming on Shavuos, we're given the Torah. But after we're given the Torah, we have to do something with it. Like, I can bring you all the ingredients in the world, but if you don't cut them up and put spices and put it in the oven, so you're not going to have anything to eat. So you have to go after the Torah, and the best place to go to it is to exile yourself to that place. And what's the lashon of exile? Why exile sounds a little whatever. Why don't you say go to a place of Torah? Go to a place of Torah. Okay, Eretz Yisrael is a makom Torah. Go there. Why is it gola? Because where else do we see this lashon of gola? We see, I'll answer because no one else raised their hand. Gola is used by when someone inadvertently kills someone in b'shogeg. So he's gola le'ir miklat. The city of refuge. He's exiled to the city of refuge. He runs away to the city of refuge. It's like if I ever wanted to make a video game, so I'd make it called Ir Miklat or something. And what's that Ir Miklat? It's a city of refuge that if you kill someone by accident, you fall off the ladder, you drop your hammer on the guy's head, and he dies, lo aleinu. So now you have to run to the Ir Miklat if you want to be safe. Once you get to the Ir Miklat, you're safe. But here's the thing. On the way to the Ir Miklat, the guy who was killed, his brother, whoever is going to avenge his blood, can chop you on the way. And he can kill you rightfully. So it's like a race for you to get to the Ir Miklat before the avenger of the guy you killed by accident comes and kills you. So that's like the basis of the game, is get to the Ir Miklat. And then once you get to the Ir Miklat, you're safe, but you're not. If you have a young Kohen Gadol, so then you're going to be there for a long time. Because how long is your sentence? Until the Kohen Gadol dies. So what did all these people used to do? They used to daven that the Kohen Gadol should die. So what did the mother of the Kohen Gadol do? She used to bake everyone chocolate chip cookies. Okay, not chocolate chip cookies, whatever they ate back then. Any sweets to like. So they, oh, I like her. We want to keep her around to get the cookies, get the gifts. So like, and this way they went daven for her son to die. So that's the basis of the video game. It's patented by the Torah, so don't try to steal it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a good idea. You like that? Would you get that video game? Okay, I like it. So Gola is, the idea of Gola is the guy recognizes that his life depends on getting to that Ir Miklat. That's the idea. Like, go fast, man, before, like, that guy, he's coming to, like, kill you. Right? I'm sure there are, like, lots of videos like this and movies like this or something, where they like have to run somewhere and get there in order to be saved. So that's the idea. His life depends on getting there. So that's what we have to go let yourself to Makom Torah, is to recognize that our life depends on the Torah. And that's why it uses the Lashon of Gola. And this vort was from Rav Goldvich Zatzal, who's the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne. That's why I went to Ben and Jerry's in Yavne today. To connect to this Bar Torah. No, I'm joking. That's not the reason. But it's nice to know that, like, this teaching was from Yavne, and I was there. Okay. And then, don't say it's going to come after you. You have to work for it. It's not just going to, and also in your profession, don't say I'm going to become the best doctor by it falling into my lap. It doesn't work like that. Everyone see Patch Adams? Okay, so you know what? Yeah, okay, good. I know they showed it in the yeshiva. It doesn't mean you saw it. There's like 30 people there. You're watching in a yeshiva. You're watching a movie and having popcorn and this, and guys can't go. I don't know what the heck's wrong with you. I mean, whatever, you guys went, but I don't know what's wrong. Maybe all of a sudden, 50 guys are sick? No. 50 guys are not sick. Or maybe they are sick. Okay. Yeah, so it's not going to come. So there's that guy who's Patch's roommate. He's like has to work really, really hard to become the best doctor because of his lineage. But say there, and don't rely on your understanding. You have to have a chaver. What does it mean? Shechaver chaya kamui v'adecha, that your friend, your colleague is going to cause it to remain with you. Plus, learn by yourself and learn with a chavrusa. You have to say anything more? If you want to learn something well, learn it with someone else. Have a chavrusa. Talk it out with someone. Work together. And you'll through doing that, so then you're going to really get to the bottom of the understanding and the meaning of it. If you do it by yourself, you might totally learn it totally wrong. And then you think you have the greatest shot. And then you say it over. And then the rabbi's like, what are you talking about, man? But if you had a chavrusa, the chavrusa would be like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then you say, no, yours doesn't make sense. And then they fight it out. And then they come to the conclusion of the MS. Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Tet. So just appreciate this Mishnah. Rabbi Yanai, this is the only time Rabbi Yanai. Does anyone know anyone named Yanai? Yanai? No? I had a friend in camp from Tina. His name was Yanai. What was his last name? I think his screen name was Yanai PG or something like that. I don't remember. He should be blessed wherever he is today. I think he lives still in Tinek Bergenfield. He's married, Baruch Hashem. He should be healthy, him and his family. We talk all of Am Yisrael. So Rabbi Yanai, this is the only time he's quoted in all of Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So appreciate it. Rabbi Yanai Omer, Ein biyadeinu lo mishalvata rishayim v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. It's not in our hand to understand why rishayim have it good in this world and why tzaddikim are suffering. So just to appreciate this Mishnah, like we said before, is you have to learn and understand the time period of the person saying this. You have to learn about the biography of the rabbi stating, and then it'll put things in context for you. So this is a good, we haven't done that with every Mishnah, but a few stick out. So this one sticks out because he lived in a time of extreme Roman persecution. People were being killed, people were being tortured all the time. So you can understand with that background why he's saying, he's basically asking the question, why is it tzaddik v'ra'lo, it's tzaddik and it's bad for him, and Rasha v'tovlo, and the Rishayim are doing good. Well, we're trying to learn Torah, we're trying to do mitzvahs, we're trying to do everything good, we're good people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're suffering, we're being killed, we're being tortured. And these Rishayim, they're prospering, they're loving, and they're enjoying it. Yeah, there have been many, many periods throughout Jewish history where this is happening. And you can even ask this question now. Obviously, no one's being tortured by the Romans, but everyone can ask the question, why is this happening in the world with Corona? So this is an age-old question that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells us, that in Brachos, that Moshe asks, Ribono Shalom, Hodeni Na Zerachecha, show me your ways, Ribono Shalom, why is this happening? Why is it that the righteous are suffering and the Rishayim are doing really well? So just, we're not going to go into it, and we had another mission like this also. But Rashi explains there that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it is that the Rishayim, they should enjoy their reward in this world, get it in this world, have a little bit of good. In this way, they'll go straight to Gehenna, do not pass Gan Eden, go straight to jail, and they'll be suffering really, really, really bad. And Tzaddikim, let them suffer a little bit in this world and then go to Gan Eden and have it really, really, really good. That's basic shot. And again, this is a very difficult concept that even, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has been grappling with and that we've grappled through the generations. And the idea is, which we can learn from previous Doros that had it much worse than COVID-19. I'm not putting COVID-19 down at all. It's pretty bad, guys. And there's been a lot of suffering in Klal Yisrael specifically. But we have to draw faith and strength from the people who've been through very bad things before in our lineage, and they held on to their faith and they held on to it, even though it didn't make sense. How someone can come out of the Holocaust having a complete faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and remaining strong to the religion? I don't know, they did it. There must be something there, and it's still happening ad hayom hazeh. And all we can say is to be mischazik in the Indian of emuna and mitachon on Kadosh Baruch Hu, to hold on to the rope, and while we're boofing along in this world. There's a very nice story I just want to share, which is related a little bit of the Majlis Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomi Majlis. One time he needed to get, I think, a surgery. He had one of his limbs amputated. And it was right in the beginning of when anesthetics was brought into the world. But he didn't get an anesthetic. And before he started, he asked the surgeon, like, give me a few minutes just to get into a mindset where, you know, I'll be ready to endure the pain. And he started singing a niggun. Mudgets is known for many nigunim. Many nigunim, which you know, come from the house of Mudgets. You don't even know it comes from Mudgets. But a lot of nigunim are from the lineage of Mudgets. So he basically came up with a niggun, which is still sung today. And he didn't move at all during the surgery. He didn't cry any pain, nothing. He was in a total state of dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after the surgery was over, the surgeon said to the next guy who was in surgery, who happened to be like some governmental official, he's like, or who had a surgery at the same time as the Rebbe, he's like, you should have learned from the Rebbe. He's like, you're screaming your head off the whole time. Learn from the Rebbe. He was very calm. So the surgeon said, so when the Rebbe overheard that, he's like, no, I was also in a lot of pain also. It was excruciating pain. He's like, but I took the pain and I translated it into a prayer. And then when I did that, so the suffering turned into tranquility, he said. For the official, his pain was pain and suffering. But for the Rebbe, he took that pain and suffering and transferred it into a prayer. He turned it into a tefillah. And by doing that, that brought a level of tranquility. And that's the avoda in life, is sometimes there are difficulties, sometimes there are painful things. And the question is, how do we react to that pain? Do we just scream out, which yes, is natural? Or do we try to use that, again, channel that energy towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and try to use that as an impetus to become a better person? The heart of avoda, but it's an important avoda for life, because in life, if you didn't realize this yet, there are upsets and there are bumps in the road which are out of our control. And there are two ways to respond, or three ways to respond. One is to retreat into our holes. Two is just be totally sterile to it. And three is to rise from it and to grow from it. So ideally you don't want to do the first two. Because it's pathetic if you're just like not responsive to anything going on. Anyone who's just living life normally after COVID is just like, just because they're totally minutak from it, that's pretty sad. And someone who retreats is also sad. It's sad because it has lasting effects, and it's sad because you lose the opportunity for growth. Obviously, some things are out of our control, especially when you're dealing with mental issues and psychological issues. So sometimes it's not a person's control, but things which are in our control, and for that person, it could have lasting effects, and again, it's out of his control. But if we're actively choosing to just be like, I can't deal with the responsibility, I can't deal with what's going on, I just have to like flee to my room and just hide there, and not use that as an opportunity to try to become a better person, to grow, and to inspire, so then, chaval. Moving right along. Rabbi Masi ben Charash, Rabbi Makti Mishalom, Kol Adam, Vezanav L'Aryos, V'Ati Rosh Hashuvim. You should say, greet everyone first. Be the first to greet them. The idea is that, hachana. How do you greet everyone first? How are you always the first one to greet? You're prepared. The second I see someone, I'm going to make sure to say hello to him. Did anyone ever beat Rav Machlis to a shalom? No, because he always wants to. He's living this Mishnah. He always wants to. So he's always thinking, whenever I see someone, I got to say shalom first. The same like with if you want to give a poor person, there are two ways to give a poor person money. One is you can have in mind, I want to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. I want to help this guy out. So already I know, when I go to shul, when I go to the merkaz, there's a guy asking for money there. I already have money in my hand. I don't have to find a coin somewhere and give it to him. But if you really want to do it and you care about the mitzvah, so then you're going to be ready. You're going to have money in your hand, or you'll have a little shekel underneath your watch They can just pull it out and plop it in when you're ready, or whatever it is. An idea is the importance of preparedness. Just like, how do you wake up in the morning? Like, you want to get up early. You're prepared the night before.
Alarm.
What?
Alarm.
Okay, an alarm. And how do you get up from the alarm?
You go to sleep early.
I know, but you prepare it the night before by setting the alarm in order for you to get up. That's the idea. In life, if you wanna do well, you have to be prepared. If everything's gonna be ad hoc and last second and disorganized, so that it's gonna be frustrating. And that's the idea here. That's one message we can learn from it. That we should try to live our lives in an organized and prepared fashion. And that way we'll be able to succeed and grow in all that we do. Okay. Let's just go on for the sake of time. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam Hazeh Domeh L'Peruz Dor B'fnei Ha'olam Haba. Rabbi Yaakov says that this world is similar to a lobby, an antechamber, whatever that is, a lobby. The lobby before the world to come, and prepare yourself in this lobby in order that you can enter into the troclin, into the banquet hall. The idea is in this world is where we have the opportunity to the Torah mitzvahs to prepare for the ultimate good. Don't get stuck in the lobby when you're missing the whole entire palace behind the door. Don't miss everything, all the opportunities you have in this world to build yourself a massive, massive house in the world to come. And the Chofetz Chaim says, a person wants to build a palace, and he has a certain amount of land, and he draws out the plans, and he gives it to a builder. And the builder looks at it, and he's like, this is weird. You don't have so much space. Why'd you build such a big lobby for your house? He's like, because I want to have a nice lobby, and also a really nice, massive mansion. So he's like, why would you do that? You don't spend any time in the lobby. You're just there for a short amount of time. People walk in. And then why make your house so small? It can be so much bigger where you're going to spend 95% of your time. Why are you doing that? And the guy's like, Taka, you're right. Make the lobby smaller. Make it nice but small. And this way, my house, the mansion, will be massive. Imagine you have an acre of land. You spend, half of it on a lobby, and then half of it is building your house. Why do that if you can have 90% of that land have this massive sprawling mansion, and then 5% have a lobby. So that's this world. This world is like that lobby. You can make it really big and then have a tiny house, which you're going to live in forever, which is Chaval, which is going to be the best house ever. Or you can make it small, do what you have to do in this world, and then take advantage of your Olam Haba. Obviously, small lobby, big mansion. And the way to do that, the time to do that is now, is because of Maisa with the Gra. He cried on his deathbed. What are you crying for? You didn't waste a minute in your life, Rabbi. I'm losing the opportunity for a few pekalach, a few coins I can be Makai in the midst of Sadaka, for a few coins I can wear tzitzis and gain eternity. And I'm not going to have that opportunity anymore in the world to come. Mishnah Chav Beis, Huayahomer, Yafesha, Achas, Bechuvah, Maisim, Toim, Boim, Mazemi, Kochai, Olam Haba. 1 hour of tshuva ma'asim tovim in this world is greater than the world to come. And 1 hour of pleasure, of spiritual bliss in the world to come is better than all this world. Again, take advantage of the spiritual opportunities we have in this world, and because that's the best thing that there is in this world, truly, ultimately. Yes, Ben and Jerry's is very good, but it's not as good as Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And if you do that, so it's going to be good in this world, and then the world to come is going to be the best as well, because you can have all the goodness of this world in one bottle and 1 second of the next world in the other bottle, and the next world is going to outweigh all the goodness in this world. So take advantage of the opportunity in this world. That's the theme of the last few Mishnahs. Mishnah Chav Gimel. I assume it's a lezer, man. This Mishnah is so important for your life to remember. This is really important advice, and everything is, but this one is like really, really like practical, and is like so just like push it, shot. Okay, ready? Don't try to appease your friend when he's angry. This is a yisod in human relationships. When someone's angry, when someone has an agenda, when someone's upset, that's not the time to talk to them. You ever try to talk to someone when they're upset at you or angry at you and you're trying to defend yourself? Were you ever successful? Was anyone ever successful in the history of mankind? No, you're not going to be. Wait for the guy to calm down. Wait for your friend to calm down. And then talk to him. Even if you want to apologize. And if he's angry, I don't care. I hate you. Nothing. Nothing. When someone's upset, when someone's angry, when someone's mind is somewhere else, don't try to get in there. Not happening. Not happening. This is just like such a yisod. You can avoid so much headache in your life if you just remember that. And don't try to console a person when his mace, his dead lies before. Same idea. The guy still hasn't buried whoever it is. He's focused on them. The idea is his mind. The idea with all these things is that, like, a person's, you have to know that when the right time to do something is. The guy is angry, he's upset at you. Don't try to appease him. Don't try to apologize. Don't try to ask him something. If a guy is still, like, hasn't even buried his dead, don't try to console him. There's no consolation in the world is going to happen when the Manoach is right there in front of him. It's just not going to happen. V'al tishal lo b'shas nidro. And do not question him about his vow when he makes it. V'al tishtadel l'ros b'shas kalkalato. And don't attempt to see him at the time of when he's getting put down. Again, the theme with all these Mishnah, with all these examples in the Mishnah, is to know there's a right time for everything and there's a wrong time for everything. And you have to always ask yourself, to save yourself a lot of headache, not to make yourself look stupid, and to be helpful. Is this what the person needs now? Is this what I should be saying there? This also is not only for, like, you know, also if you want to help a person, maybe the person is a terrible time to get involved to help. You know, when you want to help me build my sukkah and you come over at dinner time or bedtime when I'm trying to put my kids to sleep and, like, no, that's the worst time to come over to help. I don't want your help. Just stay away. So it's very important to always ask yourself, is now the right time to do X, whatever it is. Moving right along, Mishnah Chaf Daled, Shmuel HaKasanoim Benoifel Ivecha Al Tismach. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. V'kashlo al yigal libecha. And if he stumbles, don't be joyous in your heart. Ten yireah Adonai v'ra be'na v'yishiv me'alav v'po. As the pasuk says, lest Hashem see and it displease him, and he turns his wrath from that guy unto you. So who is Shmuel HaKatan? Who knows what bracha and Shmuel Esrei he established? I'll give you a hint. It was the extra bracha added on in Shmuel Esrei.
Berachat Hatzdokim?
Yeah, well, Mal Shinim.
Yeah.
Machlis points this out. And he likes to say, he's the one who's talking about, you know, uprooting and destroying our enemies in the bracha of the Mal Shinim. And he's the one who's saying here, don't rejoice when your enemy falls. How does that make sense? So Ramachal says beautifully that to create and establish a bracha like that, you have to have a level of sensitivity. Of sensitivity when you're saying something like that. That it takes a great sensitivity to want the downfall of your enemies, but it has to be done in a Yiddish way. This is the Yiddish way. We want our enemies to fall. We don't want our enemies. We want all evil to end. But we don't rejoice over it. We're not animals about it. Like the Arabs, Yimach Shemam, if there's a terrorist attack, so they celebrate. They hand out candies to the kids, and they make it sweet, and they make it Shem Yirachem. But a Jewish perspective is even when our enemies, we don't want enemies. We don't want people trying to kill us. But even when they do downfall, we don't rejoice. It takes a certain level of sensitivity. And that's why Shmuel Katan was the one who was Mekayim that bracha. Just remember, the teaching is in our lives is to do things in a sensitive way and always to be sensitive to all types of people. Elisha ben Abuya Oimer, So we teach a child, what's it compared to? It's like writing on a fresh piece of paper. Everyone know when they open up their notebook for the first time, it like has a little crack and everything's fresh and neat and white and smooth. And you have that brand new pen, 0.2, you know, really super fine, whatever your favorite pen is, not pen, pen. So that's when you teach a child. He's fresh. You can write everything. It will be clear to him. It will make sense. He'll remember it later on in his life. That's the idea of taking advantage of our youth. When we're younger, youth means not only when you're like 6 years old, it also means your age. Take advantage of it. And what you learn is impressed in your brain, and you remember it much better than when you're older. It will stick with you for a long time. As opposed to if you teach an elderly person, what's it like? It's on a paper which has been written on and erased many times. It's not going to be clear. It's going to be like, wait, what did I write in my notes? Sometimes I do that. You cross things out, and then you squeeze it in. And you're like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. I think I did that yesterday, 2 days ago. I couldn't read what my notes were. So if you want your learning to be clear, so do it when you're younger. When you're older, it's not, it doesn't absorb as well. And that's important to take advantage of your youth, to come shana bet, to continue your learning if you're going on to college, and to take advantage of the time when you have now. As busy you are as you are now, it gets much busier and you have less time to write on that fresh paper. Mishnah Chav Zayin. Do you mind if we just finish the last few quickly? I'm not going to talk about it just because we have to finish the parak. Rabbi Meir Omer, Al Tistakel B'Kankan El B'Mash Yesh Bo. Don't look at the container, but we'll look what's in the container. Yish kan kan chadash mal yashan, because you can have a container that looks really new, but it's full of old wine. You can have a mafil chadash imbo, it's a brand new container, and there's nothing in there. The idea is not to judge people based on what you see. It's because you don't really know what's going on. That's the teaching of this Mishnah, as we mentioned before. I give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't judge them right away from the outside. Try to investigate, play the Kapskus game that Rav Machlis plays, and you'll save yourself a lot of headache in life and a lot of stress. Mishnah Chavches Koach, Rabbi Lezer, Hakfar Omer, Hakinah Vatai Vakod, Motzinas Adam and Oilam. Jealousy, lust, and glory, and honor, that's honor, remove a person from this world. That's it. You can't enjoy life. You're not living this world if you're just jealous of everyone. A lot of people who are jealous end up killing themselves because they commit suicide because they can't enjoy what they have in this world. The same with taiva. There's so many taivas, and addictions and everything also make people go crazy. And also kavod, people push themselves to rise to the top, and they do things which they can't do. And that also puts them into the hospital and other things. Literally removes them from this world. If not physically, literally, so then... that other word which I can't think of. Mishnah Chavtet, anyone know what I'm talking about? Figuratively. Last Mishnah, Al Perek Dalad. Hu haya omer, ha'iludim lamus. Okay, I'm just going to read in English because it's a long one. We're out of time. So, Rabbi Lezer says, the newborn will die, the dead will live again. The living will be judged in order that they know, teach, and become aware that Hashem is God, that He made us. He's the creator, He's the discerner, He's the judge, He's the witness, He's the plaintiff, He will judge. Blessed is he before whom there is no iniquity, no forgetfulness, no favoritism, no acceptance of bribery, for everything is his. Know that everything is according to the reckoning. And let your evil inclination not promise you that the grave will be an escape for you, for against your will you were created, against your will you were born, against your will you live, against your will you die, and against your will you are destined to give an account before the King who rules over kings, the Holy One. Blessed be he. The idea is that we're in this world, and we're gonna be responsible for everything we do. If we do good, so we're gonna get good. If we don't, so then, like, we're gonna be responsible for all of our actions. So take advantage of what we have in this world, in our time in this world. Take advantage when you're young, so you're fresh paper, a young whippersnapper. Hassan used to like to say, I don't remember who used to tell me that, a young whippersnapper. Take advantage of it. Try to use your time wisely. Excel in your studies. Excel in your Torah learning. Excel in everything you do in life. And B'ezrat Hashem, you'll live a full, meaningful, fulfilling life. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Oyim Eratza, Kodesh Baruch, Zachos Yisrael, Pich HaChim Rolem Torah, Mitzvah Shneem HaNeich HaFeis HaMan Tzeko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Kaddish! All right, guys. if you haven't caught on for the last three prachim, make a siyum for yourself this Shabbat. Buy some special food. That's your favorite junk food, your favorite candy, your favorite fruit, whatever it is. We have watermelon and peaches and nectarines and apricots now in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. So it's very exciting. So get some of those, get some grapes, whatever you want. Get some sour strings, get some Weissnicht. Make a siyum, be proud of your accomplishments and celebrating. If you're not proud of, I didn't learn anything, Rabbi, so you came every day. That deserves a round of applause. And that deserves a celebration. Thank you. Good timing. Everyone give their round of applause. Okay. Sensitivity to those. Okay, very good. All right, guys. Shabbat shalom. Hazak.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.
See you next time.
Thank you, Rav. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, guys.